An untitled Star Wars fanfic containing the pairing of Hux and Kylo Ren, written by an anonymous author, read by CC Rambles. Ren cocked his head. The mask radiated confusion. I don't get it. You're not supposed to get it. You shouldn't have been rifling through my mind in the first place. I wasn't trying, but it was such a vivid image that it felt like you shoved it into my brain. Well, forget about it. I am not a woman. Yes, I'm well aware. This is hardly a house. Right. They were in Hux's room. And we're not married. And thank the Maker for that, he muttered under his breath. There was a long pause. And then Ren spoke. I'll do it. You'll what? It's conducive to my training, pretending to be someone I'm not. That sounded like a huge leap in logic that Hux could not follow. He didn't know how acting as a housewife would bring Ren closer to the dark side, but he wasn't complaining. You don't know what you're saying. I do, but you'll have to teach me. I don't know what a housewife does. My mother was hardly at home. My father was more often at home than she was. I thought we promised not to talk about family when in the bedroom. I need a teacher. Ren clasped their gloved hands together and looked at Hux as sincerely as one could from beneath a face-obstructing piece of metal. Teach me the ways of adhering to your proclivities. I can't decide, he replied, a bit dazed by the turn of events. If I'm turned on or weirded out by everything that you're saying with that damn voice changer. Should I take off the helmet? Will that help? Still thinking about it. Where do I begin? Just so we're clear, Hux shifted his grip, letting go of Ren's hands and tugging him in by the forearms until his lips were pressed against Ren's ear. You're not allowed to back out now. He grinned into Ren's hair as he felt the other male shiver. Practice didn't go too well. I'm going. He made a show of putting on his coat and hat. Off to work now. And I kiss you on the cheek. Ren walked toward him as he rested his hand on the blastor button expectantly, back turned, simulating his own departure. Ren was still wearing the mask, so they couldn't really do the kiss after all. Right, he said absently, realizing once more that Ren was doing all this to help him get his rocks off. It was hot and strangely sweet, two things he never thought he would use to describe Ren. How is that erotic? That's something a mother does to her child before sending him off to school. Suddenly all affectionate thoughts towards his bed partner vanished. Hux scowled. I'm going to work, not school. You're seeing me off, and then you will wait for me. I'm to stay right here. Yes. What should I do? Well, nothing. Nothing. So while you're working, you're going to think of me, sitting here for 12 hours straight. And you find that arousing? Hux couldn't help but press a hand to his forehead. The motion made his hat look crooked. He tried to maintain his composure. Because it's like you're only mine to see, that you exist just to wait for me. You keep talking about a housewife fantasy, but it's sounding more and more like a stalker's tirade, Ren pointed out. Are you going to do it or not? By this time, he could not prevent irritation from creeping into his voice. I'm going to be very bored. Then entertain yourself by preparing for my arrival. Again, prepare for 12 hours. You can do other things, but you shouldn't leave this room. I thought I'm playing your wife, not your prisoner. Please, Ren? He sounded a bit more whiny than intended. He rested his hands on Ren's shoulders and pressed his forehead against the helmet. Just try. And Ren nodded, so Hux smiled at him before leaving for his meeting. It would be a long day, and all he'd be thinking of was the surprise waiting for him when he got back. When he re-entered through that door, Ren was, at first, nowhere to be seen. And then Hux crossed the dim room toward his own bed. Black bedspread, with a black figure sprawled out on it. Ren had fallen asleep on his side. Hux cleared his throat. Ren woke up. The helmet moved slightly, and he shifted, lifting his head to look at Hux. "Oh, hello," said the distorted voice, and then Ren rested his head back on the bed and fell asleep. "Fine," he decided, pacing back and forth when Ren was fully conscious once more. "You're allowed to leave the room, but I'm going to pretend you've been here all the while, and by the time I get back, you should already be here waiting." So the next time Hux returned, he crossed the threshold into his room. It was completely empty. "I went out and lost track of time," Ren said sheepishly when he returned to find Hux tapping his foot impatiently. "Let's try things a bit differently," he replied. "An apron." Luckily, Ren hadn't protested, merely slipped it on over his black garb, and Hux approached behind him and tied the straps into a bow. His pants felt far too tight just from performing that simple act. "Yes." Ren went over to the mirror and surveyed himself. "This frilly bright cloth excites you. How fascinating." It's not because of the way it looks, but more of what it represents." "Which is?" "That you, well, have prepared something for me. So I'm to give you something when you walk through that door." "What?" "Well, you could start by running at me and then throwing yourself into my waiting arms, kissing me, telling me you're so glad I'm home." "I'm a lot bigger than you." "What? I can catch you. My armor alone weighs at least 30 pounds. Try me, Ren." For the next few days after that, his neck felt unbelievably sore, and he couldn't turn his head sideways. "Okay, maybe don't try a full-on leap next time. You gave me explicit permission to have the higher ground. How about you run up to me and then kiss me and then embrace me while I nestle my face into your hair? You have such strange fancies, General. I don't understand them at all." "You're going to have to take off your helmet." Ren sighed. "I guess." "Dearest," he called, as if on cue. Actually, his line had been the actual cue. Ren walked briskly toward him, maskless. The apron was tied over his robe, and Hux relished how it pressed against his body as Ren's lips met his. "Welcome home. I missed you." "So did I." He waited for Ren to ask about his work. He didn't. So Hux continued. "Work was bad, if you must know." "I see." Hux took off his coat and handed it to Ren, who dropped it on the floor rather than hanging it on the coat rack. Hux urged himself to ignore it. "Did you prepare dinner?"
"No."
Ren frowned.
"Should I have?"
"Yes, so we could eat." Hux stroked Ren's face with his fingers and tried to keep his tone soothing. "You're supposed to have prepared something in anticipation of my arrival, hence the apron." Ren's frown only deepened.
"I was too busy doing nothing to prepare. I thought me standing motionless for hours is what you wanted."
"Fine, I'm not against having a mere snack. How about a sandwich?" "There's no cutlery in here, or food for that matter. Or do you want us to mime eating?" "Go to the kitchens and get me that sandwich." He realized how that must have sounded, and tacked on, "Please, dearest."
"What kind of sandwich?"
"I don't know. Be creative." Ren nodded and left. Hux sat on the bed. To his credit, Ren was trying. Sort of.
"This is all I could come up with under the circumstances," Ren said when he returned, and shoved a plate in front of Hux's face.
"It looks amazing." It looked atrocious. The plate had grease stains on it, the bread was seared and uneven, as if a lightsaber had been used to cut it. The filling was grey and unrecognizable. Hux suppressed a grimace. He had his own part to play, and Ren had gone this long without snapping. "Thank you, dearest," he said kindly, and against his better judgment, took a large bite. Hux was discharged from the medbay 5 days later. He went straight to a meeting despite feeling a bit woozy. After that incident, he decidedly pushed the fantasy back to the recesses of his mind, resigned to the thought that perhaps it was just not meant to be. Ren was probably in the gym at the moment. Something clenched in his chest
when he realized there would be no one waiting in his room. But of course Ren had a way of always managing to defy his expectations. "Darling," came a soft voice when he got through the blast doors, and Hux was smothered in a warm embrace. "I'm so glad you're home." His vision was blocked by Ren's hair. It smelled nice, nicer than usual, and Hux savored the moment. "Honey," he said without meaning to. After all their practice sessions, it came out automatically. "I've missed you, I..." His breath hitched when he wrapped his arm around Ren's waist, feeling nothing but the cords of the apron. Nothing. No helmet, no shoes, no robes. He felt the smooth skin of Ren's lower back, and all the blood in his veins took a collective downward plunge. Hux let out a strange croaking noise, with Ren paying no heed as he nuzzled his face into Hux's neck and slowly slid the coat off him. He wondered where Ren had learned how to be sensual in such a short amount of time. "How was work?" "Horrible. But suddenly the weight is gone from my shoulders now that I have you in my arms." It was a poor line, but it fit the theme well enough. They shared a very chaste kiss before Ren started tugging him toward the table. He turned around, and Hux almost tripped when he saw Ren's bare back and legs and ass, as the frilly apron did very little to cover his front as it was. "Come on, I've prepared your favorite." He pushed Hux into a chair. The redhead was flabbergasted when he saw the myriad of dishes, from smoked nerf to spice loaf, plus a bottle of Karelian spiced ale. Definitely nicked from the superior officer's lounge, but he wasn't complaining. "What's gotten into you? What's all this for?" "I just wanted to reward you," Ren said. There was a glint in his eye. "You work so hard for our..." He paused. Hux good-naturedly waited for him to remember the rest of his line. "Future family." Supper passed in a daze, as Hux emptied his plate while Ren mostly watched, which was distracting and made his hands shake while he held the utensils. Hux stopped every so often to stare. The apron was snug against his chest, the pink making him seem somehow paler. There were ruffles at the borders which surely tickled Ren's skin and Hux couldn't take it anymore. "Come here," he said roughly as he stood, stalked over to Ren and bunched the apron at the waist. That meant it was hiked up higher, revealing more of his thighs. Ren licked his lips. "I need you to put a bauble in me." He could only respond with a quizzical look. "I mean..." Ren made a strange motion of raising his palm and studying it. Hux had a strong feeling that Ren had written notes on his hand. "A baby." And he couldn't lift Ren, so he tugged at his wrist instead and pushed him upon the sheets before climbing on top of him. "I've been wet, thinking about you all day," Ren mumbled against his lips. He groaned when Hux slipped his hand under the apron and teased his hole. "Have you? I should have come home sooner. My poor wife, you must have been so lonely. Let me make it all better." "Be gentle. I am but a frail woman. I don't know if I could handle your manhood." Not much had changed regarding his monotone delivery, but Hux's eyebrows still rose of their own accord. He hadn't quite expected this level of immersion. They were both so caught up in the fantasy that they ended up doing it in missionary, with the lights off. The apron had torn when Ren flexed by accident at one point, but apart from that, it was everything Hux had dreamed of. He was about to drift off, relishing the afterglow, when Ren turned over to face him. "I ran into Betty at the store over the weekend. She had a new haircut. It was terrible." "Okay," he said sleepily. As far as he was aware, his fantasy had been fulfilled. For Ren to keep up the pretense was odd. "I must go. There are dishes that need washing." Ren clambered out of the bed, but Hux was too drowsy to stop him from washing some phantom dishes. So he fell asleep. "Morning, honey." Ren was already dressed and sitting at the table when Hux opened his eyes blearily and saw that breakfast was ready. He dropped himself into the chair across Ren and rubbed his eyes. Funny, Ren looked peaceful, and there was a bright sheen surrounding him this morning. like the sun's rays were trickling through a window and hitting him in all the right angles. But that couldn't have been right, for they were in Hux's dark room, in space. "I love you, dearest," he found himself saying. "I love you, too. Here's today's paper." There was a newspaper in Hux's hand. He realized he'd never seen a newspaper before. The headline said something about Gungans. Where Ren had procured one and why, he did not know. "Would you like some more coffee?" "Yes, please." He wasn't even a coffee person, but he felt light, like he was floating, and it was strange. Ren was suddenly pouring coffee into a cup that had seemingly sprouted out of nowhere. "I was cleaning today," Ren said. He even sounded different, a bit higher pitched, or maybe because for once he sounded happy and content. "I found something in one of your suit pockets." He produced a white object. On it was a red smudge. Hux stared and shook his head. The newspaper fell to the floor and vanished. "I'm sorry, I don't know what that is." "It's Betty's handkerchief. With her lipstick. Why do you have her handkerchief?" His sugary tone had suddenly turned accusatory. "Ren, okay, that's enough." He moved to stand up. The table was empty, devoid of plates and food that Hux did not remember eating. "I knew it," Ren hissed. "She's your secretary, and it was only a matter of time, after all. But I've been such a good wife to you. I slave away, making your meals for you every single day. I listen to your tirades about work night after night. I always swallow. And for what? You to cheat on me with some floozy? How could you do this to me?" He threw the handkerchief. This somehow caused the table to fall to its side. There was a shattering noise, even though the table had been wooden. "Mother was right about you."
"There's nothing between me and..."
Hux spluttered.
"I don't even know anyone named Betty. What is going on?"
"You must think I'm a hag," Ren wailed. And there were streaks of tears, mixed with black, though Hux couldn't recall Ren ever wearing mascara before.
"I don't think you're a... Ren, please, this is getting out of hand."
"Oh, so it's Ren now. What happened to dearest? Is that what you call Betty when you're alone with her? Is that why you've been working such late hours?"
He was glaring at Hux with newfound hate, when just a few minutes ago they'd been perfectly happy.
He didn't understand. "This is ridiculous. I've had it. I can't take it anymore."
Ren produced his lightsaber, previously hidden who knows where, and ignited it. The tip wavered dangerously close to Hux's ear.
"What are you doing? Hey, Ren, you're going too far."
He instinctively raised his hands to shield himself. Things had fallen apart so quickly, and he couldn't comprehend any of it.
"If I can't have you," Ren bellowed, "then no one can."
And he ran Hux through with the blade. Hux sat up, gasping, feeling his chest for a lightsaber blade-shaped hole. There was nothing. He was still naked, and he almost leapt when he realized Ren was beside him, lounging on top of the sheets with his back against the headboard and his legs stretched out, one ankle crossed over the other. He was in full knight regalia, helmet and all.
"Subterfuge is one of the keys to unlocking the true power of the Sith," chimed the robotic voice, as the helmet viewed him with what looked like vague amusement. "Forgive me, I got carried away with the illusion. But I have you to thank, Hux. Snoke will be pleased by how much you have helped me with my training. Our mutual exchange proved fruitful after all. I hope the fantasies were to your liking."
Hux surveyed the room. His coat was on the rack. There were empty dinner plates on the table, and the tattered remains of a pink apron on the carpet. That provided some consolation.
"What the fuck?"
Hux breathed out. There was a stinging sensation in his brain, like it was beginning the slow process of segregating real from unreal. And he was feeling like something had just shriveled up inside him and died. It might have been his sanity, but he wasn't sure. The end.